This is Halftime of the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, that airs on WAMM FM 90.5 every Saturday from 12:30 to 2. It's the one and only Jeffrey Hinton Jr. in the building, man. In today's episode, we'll be previewing the Florida Classic as well as talking about some miraculous comebacks in the college football landscape, and ended it off with some great NFL talk that took place last Sunday. Great NFL schedule, if you ask me. But tell me, with these amazing topics, I have some amazing guys in the studio. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy DeAnt back in the studio.
Yo, it's your man JB the King. We back here with the Playmakers.
What's up, y'all? It's Flo is fine. It's Kaji Latica, repping the Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
And as always, fellas, we're going to jump right into FAMU football. We're on a little win streak, if you ask me. Back to 500 as we beat Alabama A&M 26-23. Fellas, what's your takeaway from this game?
The defense didn't win us this game. Well, it technically did, but I don't know. It was still defense was still a work in progress, but yeah. I like the fact that we still won.
Yeah. I like RJ Johnson's play.
I was gonna give him some credit, man.
We was bashing him early in the season, and then he came out against Alabama A&M 20-24, three mm-hmm. touchdowns, 300 yards.
Very efficient.
Yeah, I mean, we've won four of our last five. You know, I think often we come in here, we talk about how disappointing the season is, and I'm usually on that train, but I'm gonna give credit where credit is due, man. Mm-hmm. 20-24 is pretty impressive.
Nah, most dev. It was great quarterback play. And, you know, even though Swag Championship is goodbye, like kiss goodbye, it's still good to see the team, like, you know, have morale and just finish off the season strong and, you know, look for improvement in the next year.
I feel like as each game progressed from really, let's really call it how it is, from Alabama State, RJ Johnson started improving, started taking shots down the field. You know, granted, I'll live with the interceptions if you're taking shots down the field, which he did. Mm-hmm. And as each game progressed, he got better and better. I feel like this is probably, stats-wise and play-wise, probably his best performance he's had. And it was on the road.
Definitely
is his best game. Like I said, I'm going to give credit where credit is due, man. I mean, this is the first time where the offense didn't score 30 points for us to win a game, but I think the offense was pretty fluid. I like the balance between running and passing. Everything looked solid. I mean, all that you can really ask for real, at this point in the season.
Yeah, I would just say, I mean, it was a decent win. Again, I don't want to be too negative about a win, because a win is a win, but we were out game. We did have some trouble with penalties as well. And Alabama A&M rushed for 233 yards. That's still something. The run defense is something that has to be fixed before the Classic.
Defense has definitely been a little disappointing for me.
Back-to-back games.
Yeah. And that was supposed to be our bread and butter, and I haven't really seen that much. I mean, offense hasn't been, you know, consistent for real. But I would anticipate that hopefully it gets better, especially by Classic, because at this point, this is the biggest game of our season. So,
speaking of Classic, Bethune-Cookman's coming in, two back-to-back losses on their own, two-game losing streak. But in Coach Koji Presser, he was just saying that this Bethune-Cookman team is very explosive. I mean, their first play of the game against Jackson was a kickoff return for six. So it's going to be very interesting. Bethune-Cookman is coming in at 5-6. We're coming in at 5-5. There's something to play for here. Like, both teams are not going to make the SWAC championship by all means, but this is pride. This is
most def.
This is the state. This is everything.
This not literally every year when FAM has a bad season, like, the fans, all they care about is that Bethune game. Like, that, as long as we can get a Bethune dub, it's like, you know, we can live with that. But, I mean, Bethune's coming off two losses to some solid programs. I just know that momentum of how playing that rivalry game is definitely going to come into play. So I'm just hoping that FAM, that we have what it takes to, you know, just hold them.
Yeah, I mean, Bethune, again, I'm always going to go back to the rushing defense, because that's the basis of, one, that's the basis of a good defense, and two, that's the basis of winning football games. Bethune currently averages 167 rushing yards a game. So, and they have 21 touchdowns on the year, which is more than they have passing touchdowns. So it's gonna be very, very important to stop the run, because it's one of those things, and it's been one of those things all season. We saw it. We most certainly saw it in the Jackson State game. It didn't come back to bite them this game against Alabama A&M, but Bethune-Cookman gets the running game going. They already passed well, averaging 230.
Malik Thomas, Malik Huggins, excuse me.
Yeah, and
88 Bethune, receiving yards for 7 touchdowns, that's a playmaker.
And Bethune already averages 236 passing yards a game on the year. So if they can get their running game going as well, then it's going to be hard to stop their offense.
We cannot find ourselves in a shootout. I don't like us in a shootout.
At all.
Just because of the playmakers they have, they're more explosive, and they're used to making big-time plays. We're not used to making big time plays. If we get in the shootout, it's getting a little dicey.
Yeah, I mean, we've won 4 in a row against them. They did, like, of course they lost Jackson State, but They only lost 28-13. We lost by like 30 against Jackson State. So definitely they had a loss, but I don't really fault them for it. But I do think FAMU will pull this one out. I think, like you said, it's about pride at this point in the season. We've been on a little hot streak, so I think we're going to continue that.
Especially for the seniors. The seniors are undefeated, 3-0.
Yeah.
Coach Cole, you spoke about his pressure as well. Like, the senior leadership is going to have to step up in the big-time role because we have a lot of new faces in. RJ Johnson, for example, he doesn't know what this game really means. Mm-hmm. Being this will be his first time in this moment, senior leadership is going to be a big thing. Nairon Jenkins is going to have to speak. A lot of other seniors got to speak. How much this game means not only to the program, to the fans, alumni, the state, everybody.
And that goes on Cozy too, because I mean, if the players can't get them hyped for this game, then the coach better get them hyped for this game. And
man, if I'm a player, how can I not get hyped? This is for the state. This is like,
not everybody's from Florida though.
That is true, but when you put that orange and green on, you know who the ops is.
Yeah.
You know who the, like, you don't have to explain it. Score predictions, though.
Honestly, this might be a shootout type of game.
Mm-hmm. I think it will too.
I think both teams are going to be ready. They're going to be ready. I don't know if those defenses are going to be ready. Those defenses might get a little too excited trying to hit somebody, and then they miss a tackle. But honestly, I foresee this being a 34-31 game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna
go with the Rattlers. I'm gonna go with the Rattlers 34-31.
Yeah, I was gonna say a FAMU 35-28. Definitely gonna be a shootout.
Yeah.
Dude, I literally just thought that in my head, 35-28 FAMU. That was literally in my mind. I was gonna say that.
Yeah, I'm thinking 30-28, probably around there. But yeah, it's gonna be a shootout. We're definitely gonna have to come ready.
For sure. Now moving along to the bigger landscape of college football.
Great week.
Let's start by saying that. Let's rip the band-aid off. Oklahoma came to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Before this game, they were 0-5 against top 10 teams, and they finally got their first one. And in a nasty win
on the road,
23-21. Just looking at the game, John Mateer didn't have the game he liked. The entire offense didn't have the game that they would want to have.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense was making plays. Yes, yeah. Just talk about the game, guys.
Now, yeah, the defense was definitely solid. Just speaking on that fourth down conversion that they stopped, that was big. Like, one-on-one right there, the cornerback coming in, knocking that ball out, that's big right there. That's big-time defense. And the D-line was getting back there, too. Definitely causing a lot of pressure, getting back there, getting sacks. Overall, the defense definitely carried. I think John Mateer did what he needed to, and the offense did what they needed to get the job done. But kudos definitely goes to that defense.
Yeah. For sure, kudos to that defense. Eli Bowen, pick six.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I believe it's the first and second drive of the game. Pick six to the crib.
Yeah, pick six. Multiple fumbles forced, and you could just tell the Oklahoma defense was ready.
Yeah.
And they've been ready the whole season. Oklahoma's defense has been what's winning them games. Yes. Even against when they played Ole Miss a couple weeks ago. I know Ole Miss put up a lot of points, but the defense was what was keeping Oklahoma in that game.
Yeah, but Oklahoma defense has definitely been like the bright spot for this team. I think when Mateer is healthy, you know what I'm saying, and not throwing 20,000 picks that one game, they're a real contender. I mean, they barely lost to Ole Miss, and then they had the bad loss against Texas. But a win against Bama this late in the season, after Bama, like, in my mind, they were definitely up there with, like, championship contender.
Most definitely.
I think this is a major win, and I'm looking forward to where they rank right now.
They're number 11 now. The college football playoff rankings haven't come out yet. I'm sure they're going to jump pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the team
a
lot.
No, the polls have them at 8. The polls have them at 8 now.
It's already updated then, okay. Now, yeah, and speaking on that, JB, about Alabama being, like, contenders, I definitely don't think that this game takes anything away from them. I just think that Oklahoma just played a better game. Not to say that we saw it coming, but Alabama had a very tough stretch coming off that Wisconsin win. Like, they've been playing ranked opponents and just, like, good competition this whole time. So it was bound to happen where they were going to get in a dogfight against a team, and it just happened to be Oklahoma.
You know what's so crazy? They scheduled them on their homecoming. I think Oklahoma also took that personal. Like, you think we just some pushover?
Nah, that's crazy.
I feel it. But I was going to move on to another game, but breaking news. Virginia Tech is finalizing a contract with James Franklin as the new head coach. Just thoughts on that. Quick thoughts.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see. A boy touching that cheese. You know what I'm saying? So.
And Virginia Tech is a respectful program, I feel like. And they haven't reached those standards in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to get back to what they know. I guess hopefully for them in the future, they can finally get a national championship.
I think this will be a fresh start.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a weaker conference in the ACC. Mm-hmm. No offense to anybody like the ACC out there. It's a basketball conference. I keep saying that.
Yeah.
But it's a reset for you. You know, I kind of look as Virginia Tech as the Penn State environment of the ACC.
Solid.
With the Sandman, okay. Yeah. vibe and everything mm-hmm. like that. I kind of refer it to that. But it's a good reset for him just to get his feedback under him and just try to be better than what you were at Penn State.
Yeah, and it's not even that far away from Penn State. No. I know James Franklin James Franklin was very successful in recruiting wise at Penn State. He was able to get pretty much that whole entire Northeast just to come to Penn State, and Virginia's not that far away.
Yeah,
so, and it's a lot of great talent in the Virginia area, DMV, and he can still go recruit up north.
Yeah,
in New York, New Jersey, in that area. So I really like this hire for Virginia Tech.
Moving along to the next game, I did speak about early in the show, miraculous comebacks. Let's just talk about it, fellas. You're up 30-3.
I was ready to send.
That's Heisman play right there.
There's no way you're South Carolina. You allow 31 points unanswered. What's the takeaways? Marcel Reed Heisman-like moment
right there.
What you guys thoughts?
I kind of have a hot take. I texted my group chat in like the second quarter because I knew they were going to come back. Like, it's just what happens. It was a script. I don't value this game for real.
And why you don't value this?
Why are you down 30-3 in the second quarter this late in the season?
But South Carolina competes, though. You're acting like this is University of Kentucky. I can't even say Vanderbilt no more. So University of Kentucky.
But when Texas A&M, their main thing has been they've only played bottom level talent in the SEC. Not saying that South Carolina is bad or anything like that, but you haven't played the top echelon of teams. This win doesn't make me be like, okay, yeah, y'all are for real. Y'all are legit. Yeah,
it's one of those like, cool, y'all came back, but y'all shouldn't have been in this position the first 30-3.
30-3 is nuts.
I would understand if it's 21-3 or you know something like, but 30-3,
it's definitely questionable. But I don't know if you call them frauds.
Oh, I mean no, they're not frauds.
Is that what you're calling them, JB? No. That's what it sounds
I've been hearing the talks. My friends, they talking about, oh yeah, Texas A&M frauds. They frauds. I'm like, dang, like I don't know. This is solid.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're still we're 10-11 weeks into the season. They're still 10-0. They're undefeated.
Yeah.
I give him that credit, but like.
And Marcel Reed had 439 yards.
Nah, that's.
He no, looking like Joe Flacco.
That first half.
Back against the Bears. Sorry for the audience listening. This is a flashback from the last Saturday show. You know, just that's why I said that.
Nah, but I mean, he was hooping second half, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that first half was nasty.
It was bad.
It was rough.
It was bad.
South Carolina should have won this game. I don't know what they were doing in the second half.
Yeah. I don't even know how the defense is able to shut them out like that. Whole second half, no points.
Crazy. And like, that's the thing. The no points part is crazy. They lost by 1 point.
Yeah.
All you need is two. You need 2 points in an entire half.
It felt like they didn't get a first down all second half. Like, it was, I'm telling you, bro, they stopped playing football. Like, it felt like they were tanking, exactly, bro. Yes.
Yeah. Folks was talking about something. They wonder what that coach was saying in the locker room for Texas A&M.
You go out there and have fun.
Yep.
Y'all good.
Wrap it up, guys. Like,
that's just a credit to also the leadership in that locker room. Mm-hmm. You're down at the half. Everybody looking at each other, probably pointing fingers.
Literally.
Like, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
Hmm? Crazy comeback. But let's move on to the finale. A disappointing in my eyes.
Belted.
College football game between Texas and Georgia.
That was good belt.
Brutal from the start to the end. I didn't think it was going to get this out of hand.
Yeah.
As Georgia won 35-10. You know, Texas was rolling. We said this on the last show. Texas was rolling, but we didn't think you only allowed 10 points.
Georgia's one of those teams that just has Texas' number. I mean, going back to the previous two matchups, Georgia won the SEC championship and they won the regular season game in Austin last year. And it's just one of those things where, you know, maybe this is one of those teams that Texas just is not going to be able to beat at the end of the day. But I do want to highlight Gunnar Stockton. Gunnar Stockton played very well. You know, we've had our concerns about him or even going into this week on if he was going to be able to really open up his passing game. But he was efficient, 24-29, 4 passing touchdowns, and he got the job done.
Yeah, this was the win I needed to see from Georgia. I mean, of course, I didn't expect them to win by this much. Yeah. But all season, even though Georgia's record has been good, their defense has been very lackluster in my eyes. Like, Georgia kind of held their crown on being that elite defense. I'm going to get that pressure. Mm-hmm. And they weren't really doing it. Like, that game against Bama definitely, like, was very much a disappointment. So I look at this game and, like, okay, y'all are legit. Like, y'all are back. This team can show up when needed. This defense can show up, and now this is what I'm expecting out of y'all.
But they have a tricky game at the end of the year.
Georgia Tech.
Spooky. Spooky, man.
It's almost like a trap. It's low-key a trap game.
They'll be all right.
It's low-key a trap game because they might just overlook them. Just crazy. Yeah.
And I think I even think Georgia Tech's been looking ahead too, because they've been they almost got caught up by Boston College.
Literally.
And well, they did the week before. Well, 2 weeks ago, they lost to NC State. They almost got caught up by Boston College. I think they're Georgia Tech been looking ahead to this game the whole year. So, I don't know. They're going to have to get it together. But at the end of the day, both teams are still 9-1.
It's going
to
be a good game.
I'm just mad that it's not at the university's field. You know, they're playing the Mercedes-Benz Stadium now. I don't like that.
I will be tailgating. I'll be out.
That's a lost home game for Georgia Tech, because we know it's going to be majority Georgia fans at Mercedes-Benz.
But it's still that environment is going to be like just missing.
Missing
from there just because they're at an NFL stadium. Granted, they got bought out, but I don't care, man. Forget the money. I'm going to get the money from the ticket sales.
Yeah.
Like, let's play it at our university. Man.
That's going to be a game.
Do y'all feel like Texas is out, like, no matter what?
Oh, they're done.
If they beat Texas A&M.
They're done.
Like, you think they're done?
They're done. But granted, their resume beat Texas A&M. Their resume does look good, though.
They only lost a 7 to Ohio State.
But what messed them up was only scoring 10 points against Georgia. Now, they made it a one-score game. Okay.
If it was a competitive,
There's a debate, but there's no debate. They're done.
I don't know if
they're done.
Yeah, they beat Texas A&M.
Let me see.
They're done. They should have kept it close.
If they beat Texas A&M, though,
they should have kept it.
If they beat Texas A&M,
JB, let's look at it. You lose one possession to Ohio State. Great
loss.
You went to the Swamp. You lost. Okay, one possession still, regardless. Then you get your doors blown
by Georgia.
By Georgia. And you think the Texas A&M validates that? No.
It's SEC, bro. I don't know.
And?
I don't know. I just feel like, especially after Oklahoma just beat Bama, like, they have a case. If they beat Texas A&M, who's undefeated.
But who are they getting in over?
Yeah.
Is the question.
Yeah.
And especially with no SEC championship to help them.
Are you saying they're going to get over somebody like BYU or Utah?
I don't know if they'll get in over them, though.
I don't know. I'm not saying I would, but I just think we're going to have these conversations in 2 weeks. Because they're going to be in the talks.
But last year they set the precedent. We had this same discussion with SMU and Alabama, and Bama just had too many losses at the end of the day. So
that's a good point.
Yeah, so it will be the committee going against the precedent that they set if they put Texas in over teams with better records.
Man, Bama better beat Auburn. They better lock in.
They better.
And it's at Auburn.
It's not a guarantee,
bro. I cannot wait for this game.
All these SEC teams better lock in.
No, for real.
Georgia, Bama, Ole Miss too. Ole Miss ain't safe.
The Egg Bowl,
the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, speaking about college football playoffs, give me, because you said Texas A&M frauds.
Oklahoma ain't safe either. They got Missouri and LSU to end the season too. Yeah. I mean, Missouri's a decently tough opponent.
Yeah,
and even LSU's been having a bad season, but they still got the talent. If it's the last game of the season, if LSU got some pride, they might, you know, try to mess up some stuff in the conference. And, you know, Oklahoma's not out of it either.
They're not. But, guys, build out your college football projection. I just want to hear your build out. Like, if you was on the committee, this is how you would build it out.
Like, projections
as of today. Ohio State's at one, great. Yeah, we know that.
Ohio State got the Big Ten.
Yep.
I think Georgia going to get the SEC.
So you have Georgia at two, or you going to have...
Well, maybe not. Hold on, let me see.
I think Georgia gets the SEC, though.
Because Texas A&M might not.
Yeah, I think they beat Texas A&M.
In the championship game?
If Texas A&M even,
at the end of the day, once Georgia gets there, as long as they're not playing Bama, I'm more confident in Georgia to get that win.
So I have Georgia at two.
I'm gonna break down your Georgia thing in a second. As far as like the implication goes to even get them in there. But keep going.
We need a Big 12. I'm going Texas Tech.
Yeah. I like Texas Tech.
So for Georgia to get in, Alabama has to lose, or Texas A&M has to lose, or Ole Miss has to win, and also win over the strength of schedule over Alabama.
So basically the easiest thing would just Georgia has to root for Texas to beat Texas A&M.
Essentially how it goes, yes.
That's Okay.
Or they have to root for Auburn to beat Bama.
Even though they have a better
record. So Georgia's going to have to be some big Auburn fans or
and
Texas
for,
fans.
And for Alabama getting the SEC championship, they have to win. They have to win out. Plus, Texas A&M loses. Ole Miss loses. And they just went out and they have a better overall strength of schedule over Georgia. That's for Alabama.
This is too much.
So it's very complicated. It's very complicated.
I'm kind of confused. I'm being honest.
It's very complicated.
Can we just say what teams are going to make it?
Yes, go ahead. But yeah, I'm just letting you know because you said Georgia's going to win the SEC championship. So I'll just give you the breakdown of how they have to get in to begin with.
Well, in the scenario that Georgia does get in, I think if Georgia makes the SEC championship, they're going to win it, unless Bama is their opponent. But I think in this scenario, it would be them versus Texas A&M. So I would have Georgia winning it, which would probably put Georgia at the two okay. seed. Then Texas Tech.
At your three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, I mean,
Texas Tech. Indiana? I'm about to say you're going to have Indiana at your three or you're going to have Indiana at your four.
But in this case, both Texas Tech and Indiana would be at 11-1.
That's what I'm saying. So who do you have at your three and your four?
I would have Texas Tech over Indiana.
Okay.
Because Texas Tech would have a conference championship.
That is valid.
That's true.
That is
Indiana valid reason.
And then
five and six.
It would probably be Indiana. Indiana at four.
And then five and six.
I don't know because I'm looking at these rankings. Ole Miss is still up here. Texas A&M. It would probably be Texas A&M because of Texas A&M.
Yeah, it'll be Texas A&M and it'll be Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, okay. And 7 and 8. This would be really interesting.
Probably Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon for sure.
But I don't know because Oregon wouldn't even make it to the Big Ten championship in this scenario. They would just be living off of.
Oh, it'd probably be Notre Dame right there
at seven.
But this is you building.
That's what I'm saying. It's you building it.
It might have to be Oregon if Oregon wins out, which they most likely will.
How do you feel about BYU?
BYU
this high though.
If it's up to me, they're getting in.
No,
but this high though for you. Oh, okay. Because you said it right now. We at 7 and 8. So you have that. Your seven. Who's eight?
Eight. See, it's weird because then you start getting to all these 8-2 teams or teams with two losses because you got this next tier of teams is Oklahoma, Notre Dame, the Bama, and BYU. So
Utah Utes.
Yeah. I don't have Utah out there. Utah lost to BYU, so they're in the back for a little bit. But
Bama got to be here. I can't see Bama
over here. Oklahoma.
You got to realize.
Okay.
Head to head, you got to factor that in.
So Oklahoma is here then.
Yes, at your eight. I agree on that.
I say Oklahoma wins out. They beat Missouri and LSU. They win out.
Oklahoma eight. Mm-hmm. BYU 9. I have Bama at 10.
I would agree.
We ain't set Notre Dame. Low.
Oh, excuse me.
And then
BYU's 11. And reverse then, that. BYU 11.
Whole time. Right. We're forgetting about a whole nother conference, the ACC.
Man.
Anyway,
we got Georgia Tech still 9-1.
GT
still 9-1. Miami's 8-2.
GT is my school.
GT need to get up in there, but GT need to get up in the. I don't know how. Something got to shake.
They'll be at my. Okay, scratch BYU. GT's 11.
That's what I'm saying. I'm taking GT over BYU.
GT's 11. 10 is Notre Dame.
So you got GT winning the ACC.
Nine is Bama.
You got GT winning the ACC?
Yes.
No Miami? No Miami love?
If Miami wins the ACC, they'll be up there because they'll have two losses. That'll put them above Notre Dame because they already beat Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And that'll put them above everybody else because they got a championship.
They finished the season beating Virginia Tech and Pitt.
I mean,
Miami.
But I think just them being a two-loss power champion and the other teams being two losses and not having a championship, that will put Miami above them. And then especially in Notre Dame because they have the win over Notre Dame.
Right. Are you writing it down?
I'm just taking mental notes. I always keep everything logged. But
we're at 10.
We're at 10, yes.
Because so at eight we had Oklahoma, right?
Yes.
And then nine
I had Bama.
Bama, yeah.
10 I had
I don't know. I will put the ACC champion at 9. Over Bama.
Time out. I gotta respect winning though, like winning your conference.
Yeah.
I don't know. Indiana might slip to that 5.
Nah.
I gotta respect winning your conference though.
But
nah, you don't.
I gotta respect that.
But so you will put a 2-loss Miami ACC champion Miami over in 11-1 or 12.
Who said Miami? I said GT.
So GT.
Georgia Tech over Indiana.
I said GT.
So would GT have two losses in this case? Because they. Are they losing to Georgia?
Yes.
So they're losing to Georgia, but they still win the ACC championship. So this is a two-loss ACC champion, Georgia Tech.
I don't know, because every year we
Indiana,
the commissioners,
who's one loss, the
committee team always gives a bad rap on ACC.
But it's ours, bro. It's our bracket.
That is right. Scratch that. 11.
Yeah.
I'll keep him at 11.
So, OU at 8.
Yes.
And then we said
Bama 9.
I got the ACC champion at 9. Because ACC champion is going to have two losses.
Okay, I can respect that. Okay,
and
okay.
Be a champion versus
okay,
Bama.
So scratch that. I'll do GT at 9, yeah. Bama at 10.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wait, where do we have Dame at? Notre Dame at, though?
We didn't say Notre Dame yet?
No.
No, man. So we have to put them at 11.
Yeah, they can
gotta
get
11.
And then
12.
But then we got BYU.
And then 12 is whoever wins out of the G5.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
So wait, so did BYU make it in?
No.
Okay. No. I might have to do some rearrangement for mine.
No. And mine,
because looking at BYU's schedule, they got Cincinnati and they got UCF. So I expect them to win both of those games. BYU will be 11-1 or probably 11-2 because they make it to the Big 12 championship and lose to Texas Tech.
BYU got to be. They beat Utah.
But
that's their best win.
If BYU is 11-2, right. Utah.
If your best write off is Utah, no.
Utah's 13 right now, bro.
I get that, but that's your best win where you could have beat Texas Tech.
But they also had that
under your belt to improve your resume.
But their only two losses would be to Texas Tech, who we put at number 3.
Yeah.
I understand that, but I'm saying if they would have beat Texas Tech to begin with and have that Utah win already under their belt, cool. We're not having a discussion if they're in it. We're having a discussion because they're not gonna be in it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's my projections. I don't know about y'all. I feel like
an 11-2 BYU versus a 10-2 Notre Dame.
Don't tell me you're leaning BYU.
I would.
Bro,
nah, I can't get with that. I don't even like Notre Dame, but I can't get with that.
We're looking at this Notre Dame schedule. Notre Dame's best win is USC.
Good team.
And BYU's best win will be Utah. And they will have pretty much the same record. At the end of the day, I would take Utah.
Notre Dame got Jeremiah Love, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
And BYU got Bear Bachmeyer. Shout out to you, but you also got to think about
they only lost by one to Texas A&M.
But we're giving them credit for quality losses.
That's what they do.
Didn't BYU get their doors blown off?
They did.
So they lost. So what are we talking about? They got their doors blown off.
At the end of the day, Ohio State is winning it all. I'm getting confused with the numbers.
Anyways, those are our projections.
Either way, shout out to Big 12, Red Raiders, putting all my energy behind you.
Shout out GT.
Those are our projections. Now moving along to what Q calls the No Fun League.
Oh, it's fun again.
Oh, it's fun again because I guess the Bills won.
Yep. Yes, 44 points.
But looking at the AFC right now, there's three teams that only have two losses, which is the Denver Broncos at 9-2, the Pats at 9-2, and the Colts at 8-2. Which two team loss do you think is going to make to the Super Bowl?
I'm not going to lie. Out of those three,
might be the Broncos.
Talk to me.
I'm going either Pats or the Colts, but I can't make my mind up. Pats are like sound all around. I don't know. That team is just nice. I'm rocking with how they play.
They haven't lost a game since week 3.
I'm rocking with how they playing. Like, the team is really, like, really, really clicking right now. But I gotta also lean to the Colts because Jonathan Taylor is, like, going stupid. Mm. He's going insane, bro. And then just the offense is very, very strong. So it's like, I don't even know. I don't know.
I think for me, I would go Patriots just because I feel like I trust Drake May the most out of these three quarterbacks. I think.
You don't trust Bo Nix in tight moments?
He's shown up in them tight clutch moments.
Made a great throw last night.
He had a great bounce back because the game before that Thursday night football game,
I was like, what is
horrible.
Going on? That was very bad.
The worst Thursday night football game I've ever watched.
I was like, bro, what is this?
And I do like Sean Payton, of course, got to respect the GOAT, but I don't know. I just think the Patriots, their run defense has been elite. They've been able to shut down everybody. Huge wins against the Buccaneers and the Bills. Like, and I like Mike Vrabel. I've always liked him as a coach. I wish he was the Browns head coach right now. So I think I'll go Patriots, and they still have like this hidden weapon in Travion Henderson. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who's really been getting active. Stephon Diggs has been great. Their wide receiver core has been a lot more impressive than I would have thought.
Yeah.
So I think I would lean them, but I do respect the Broncos win against the Chiefs. Like that was a huge win yesterday.
I was gonna go with the Broncos. Just I mean, they had the best defense out of the three,
and they're playing at a high level
and they're clutch too. Bo Nix is making clutch plays. I know he's not the most consistent, quarterback out there, but he still has Sean Payton helping him out. And Sean Payton does have a Super Bowl, unlike the other two head coaches. Well, technically Shane Steichen has one as a coordinator, but Sean Payton has a Super Bowl as a head coach. And so I think, you know, I have faith in him to at least get the Broncos, you know, have them equipped for a deep run once they get to the playoffs. And, you know, at the end of the day, defense wins championships, and coaching also goes a long way in this scenario.
I'm going to side with you, Q, because RJ Harvey stepped up with JK going to IR. Yeah. You know, he's versatile as well. You know, you spoke about Trevion Henderson being a pastor, and so is RJ.
Yes.
RJ has been improving day in, day out. His wide receiver core, I mean, Cortland Sutton is like most underrated.
Underrated wide receiver.
But when you need a big time play, he's gonna make a big time catch.
Yeah.
You have Troy Franklin, Evan Engram, Marvin Mims making plays as well, making Bo Nick's job easier.
But the Broncos lost the Colts though. So I don't know. Nope.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna lie, this Colts finishing schedule is
But that was early though. That was week two.
It was.
That was week two. Both teams have changed for the better. So
well, I just pulled up the Colts schedule. Colts schedule is crazy. They play the Seahawks. They play the Chiefs.
The Niners. Come
Jags,
on,
Jags, Niners.
Yeah, put us in there.
That's what I'm saying. They got a tough few weeks. I mean, that's going to showcase what it's going to be, how they do these last couple games. Definitely trying to see that Colts versus Seahawks game. Oh my gosh, that's going to be.
And then look at the stretch for the Broncos.
Who they play? They just beat
the Commanders.
Easy. Raiders.
Oh, Packers.
Packers are going down.
Yeah,
Jacksonville.
Packers.
Kansas City on Christmas Day. And then the Chargers.
That's low key.
It's better schedule than the Colts.
Yeah, it is.
It is. I don't know.
And they have the one seed locked up right now. If the playoffs start today, they'll be the one seed.
That is
the Broncos?
Yes, the Broncos will be the one seed right now.
I'm not
going
to lie, though. The Patriots schedule is even easier.
Nah, the Patriots schedule is cake.
Bengals, Giants.
They play
the Bills again.
They play the Ravens.
Then the Jets, and then the Dolphins to end it out.
So they just got two.
Bills and Ravens, not especially Ravens.
Yeah, Bills and Ravens.
December.
That's gonna be two tough ones.
And that's back to back weeks.
They get a bye week before the Bills game, and the Bills game is at home.
Okay.
Okay.
But that's a very important game for the division. So, and I don't expect Buffalo to just lay down at all.
Do y'all feel like it has to be one of these three teams to make it to the Super Bowl?
No.
Mm-mm.
Who else do you think?
Because I was riding with Chiefs. I got to give up on the Chiefs.
They're not going to win a division after nine straight years.
Until I see that, what is it? Do they put an E next to your name when you're eliminated? Yeah. Until I see an E next to the Chiefs in that playoff picture, or unless they're in the hunt, they're not no longer in the hunt, then I'm not saying I would have faith in them to go make a playoff run, but
it's crazy
until they're not in the playoffs in week 18, I'm not counting them out.
It's crazy because they've been keeping these tough games close.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bills, one touchdown, Broncos.
Talking about the Chiefs, they just can't close out. Last year they was able to close out. This year they haven't had the chance.
5 in one score games.
And they're still the Baltimore Ravens. Their best bet is winning the division. They're only a game behind in the division.
Who?
The Ravens.
Oh, they just meant the Chiefs.
Ravens
are
winning that division. That's not even.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. Come on now. That's the swag.
Yeah. I would look at the.
Come on, that's the swag.
I would look at the Ravens as the other team. Yeah.
Tell me why.
just because they have the talent. Like, yes, they should have lost to my Browns yesterday. Shadur, shout out to you, bro. Don't let the haters get to you.
I'm saying you look that bad, bro.
I don't know. The Ravens, it has to be their year eventually. You know what I mean? And in a season where, like, yeah, the Bills are back, but they have had a couple of bad losses. Year where the Chiefs look down and out. Like, this is their opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe this is... Maybe the year they do it is the year where they have lower expectations, because these past 2 years, the Ravens were the... Well, 2 years ago, they were the one seed. That was their best... That was the year to do it. That was their best roster. They still had Mike McDaniel, and all they had to do was score two more touchdowns against the Chiefs, and they couldn't do it. But... And then last year, you know, that game against the Bills, you know... They lost that game themselves.
Shout out Mark Andrews.
And so the Ravens, the past 2 years, the Ravens had all these very high expectations. Like, they're clearly the best, at the very least have the best roster, and they couldn't get it done. So maybe this year, you know, they need to be overlooked. They need to be underdogs a little bit, and maybe that'll have them lock in and go do something.
Moving along to the NFC now, the Eagles... Sunday Night Football, man, beat the Lions 16-9. You can say pass interference, offensive pass interference.
Yeah.
But don't leave the game to the hands of the ref. But are you higher on the Eagles defense, or are you a little bit scared of this Eagles offense.
Bro, this offense is...
I don't like watching them play, bro.
It's so bad.
That game last night was not it.
Same against the Packers last week. Like, it's just...
So bad.
But they went... Like, I have to give credit to the Eagles because if they go against anybody in the league, I'm probably picking them to win. Like,
as the Rams...
The Seahawks?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the Seahawks. We crossing them out after what we saw from Sam Darnold. We're going to get into that later. But the Rams, are we serious?
The Rams had four turnovers last week, and they barely won. They barely beat the Seahawks. Sam Darnold played the worst game of his career. Not his career, but he played really, really bad, and they barely won. I think the Eagles, just their experience and their veteran leadership, they always figure out a way to win. And at this point in the season, especially with how, like, crazy the standings have been this year, I got to trust a team who figures out a way to win.
So let me ask you, let me ask you this, then. If your leading receiver in the game is A.J. Brown for 79 yards, the next guy up is Jahan Dotson with 43.
Penn State legend.
Against the Rams, you think that's going to beat the Rams?
I do.
They beat the Rams in week three. And Smitty only had one reception for 7 yards.
They beat the Rams in week three. I'm not even an Eagles guy, but they figure out a way to win every single time. I mean, the Broncos loss was legit. Giants was, you know.
Bro, but did you see how they won in week three, though?
No, I don't remember. What happened?
I think that was the block field goal for the return. Bro, that was pure luck.
Bro, like, every game is like luck, bro. Look at their, like, offense. Their
semantics,
offense,
as we say on the live show. Semantics.
I don't know. I forgot that's how they won. That was, no, they should have lost that game.
Wait. Okay, I know we're talking about the Eagles, but I just checked these standards.
The Chicago Bears.
I'm sitting here at the three seed.
Yes.
I was looking at these standards for a whole 2 minutes, and I didn't even notice the Bears sitting at the three seed.
Lions are kind of scaring me. I'm not going to lie. This is just the injury thing again, except it's happening earlier this season than last year. They're 6-4, and, like, I don't believe the Bears are actually, maybe I do believe the Bears are good, but, like, I don't really see them as
contenders. What is their best win?
I don't really see the Bears as contenders.
You heard the live show, JB, so what is their best win?
I'm on your side.
All right.
I promise you, I'm on your
side. All right, that's all I need to hear.
But the Lions are 6-4, bro, and they got to get healthy, bro, and it's the same thing from last year, and they haven't had, I mean, who they beat? They beat the Chiefs. No, they beat the Buccaneers. But they lost to the Eagles, they lost to the Vikings, they lost to the Chiefs and the Packers. Like, all those teams, except for the Vikings, are contenders.
Yeah.
And they haven't been able to pull out these games, which they were able to do last year. So I'm kind of worried about them. But back to the Eagles, yeah, I respect their will to win. I don't know how they do it. Their offense looks horrible, but their defense is legit. They have, I forgot his name, but he's been an emerging star. He had a big sack yesterday on that 4th-and-1 conversion. So I don't know. I trust the Eagles.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, they always get the benefit of the doubt. They are the defending Super Bowl champs, and the defense looked good yesterday.
Kobe Dean back in coverage. Oh my!
Shout out to Kobe Dean from Mississippi. Also, I saw Adoree Jackson out there. I was like,
Adoree Jackson getting stops?
Yes. I'm like, bro, he's still playing out there, but I mean that shows the Eagles, at the very least their defense is bought in, and they need that offense to catch up. And, you know, we like to also use this term, complimentary football. That's gonna be big for January. But roster wise,
but nothing's complimentary right now.
It's not.
Nothing. The defense is complimentary because they're getting stops.
But the offense has shown, like, they can do it. I swear they can.
It needs to be consistent.
But they're still...
Because it's not the NBA. You got 7 games. You know what I'm saying? Adjust each game. It's a one shot.
We still got eight, nine games left, though, to figure it out. So it's not... And I mean, at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world. They're still 8-2. They're first in the NFC.
Yeah, their offense hasn't been consistent, and they're 8-2. I don't know. I have to give credit to them.
Yeah, I'm giving credit, but I'm scared for this offense when it gets to playoff times.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
They're not electric.
We saw it last year. Jalen Hurts was bad in the playoffs last year.
I think what's going to get him over the top is Jalen Hurts using his feet, because the passing game is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. It doesn't exist.
And then at least last year when Jalen Hurts was bad, like, Saquon was spectacular. Yeah, it's not spectacular this year.
That's another thing.
That's why I'm saying the offense is scary. Besides Jalen Hurts, Saquon is not doing what he needs to do. I don't know what's like the disconnect, but they can't keep winning games like this.
We got him on stream explaining, like, he's expressing his frustrations. I don't know.
Bro,
yeah,
that locker room, bro. The Eagles, they just be, bro. AJ Brown, like, they just have a lot going on,
and their connection looks just forced, like, between AJ and Hurts. It just looks forced,
which is crazy because AJ Brown was killing it last year, like. AJ Brown is elite. Like, he's a really good receiver, so it definitely does feel forced. I agree with you.
And to end out the show, fellas, We already spoke his name up. Sam Darnold. Shout out Sam Darnold. You know, this playmaker that's not here today, West. He says he's taking Sam Darnold over Jalen Hurts.
Still not crazy.
4 interceptions, no touchdowns, 279 yards. I did say, when he gets to them high pressure moments, what is Sam Darnold going to do? We saw it last year when he played against the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
What about now? Go against the Rams. NFC West, high caliber offense on both sides of the ball. And you just pissed down your leg.
Nah, it was definitely on him because I just looked at the stats. I didn't see the game.
Oh, the game was worse.
It was
the film, all his passes that were picked.
Seeing ghosts.
Was he pushing the ball? Like, were the picks like just...
No, like bad footwork, which led to picks. I mean, granted, he had pressure in his face due to the good O-line. Not O-line, but good D-line by the Rams. But all his passes were just bad feet, bad footwork when he threw it.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Well, I didn't see the whole, like, I didn't see the game, but looking at the stats from the Rams side, like, it seemed like it definitely was, the mishaps was, or their loss came from Sam Darnold, because Matthew Stafford only finished 130.
Mm-hmm.
Kyren Williams, it looked like he did most of the work, 91 yards, a touchdown, 12 carries.
Definitely an ugly game.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was expecting a lot more.
But I don't think the sky is falling for the Seahawks. I mean, it is a divisional game against the Rams. The Rams, as of right now, look like the best team in the NFC. And at the end of the day, they were still a field goal away from winning this game. And it was a tremendous punt, by the way. Pin them all the way back at the 1 yard line, and they had to go and try to get a field goal.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, even with Sam Darnold throwing 4 interceptions, they were still in a position to win it.
I think my biggest critique though is just looking back at the film, when he was in those situations where the pressure was in his face, he could have used his feet rather than forcing it into a situation
and
that wasn't needed.
He's not slow. He got a little bit of jets on him.
He had a little jets on him.
Move a little bit.
But he has time to clean it up though. I mean, you play against the Titans, Vikings, and the Falcons before you face the Colts. You have some time to clean it up.
I don't know. I feel like it might be. I don't know how true this is across the league, but I don't know if it's one of those things where he wants to save himself for the playoffs, or you know, not take too many hits before playoff time. But at the end of the day, if a win is there, you gotta go win the game.
I look at the Seahawks are a really good team.
They very
well could have won this game. Mm-hmm. They only lost by 2. Sam Darnold played horrible.
And shout out to JSN.
Bro, JSN is going crazy.
Man, love seeing that from Ohio State guys. But yeah, I mean, even Sam Darnold, like that last drive that they had, it was 11 plays, 84 yards. Like, I think he bounced back well enough. If he just would have played decent, they would have won this game.
Mm-hmm.
And Seahawks defense is amazing. Like, they were really able to get to Stafford. Mm. I don't think the Rams offense looked fluid for the first time in forever this week.
Yeah.
I mean, this season at least. So, yeah, the Sam Darnold performance is bad, and we have the same conversation about him every single year. But I still think the Seahawks are legitimate contenders this year.
Definitely.
Well, guys, this concludes the show. But we get into my favorite part of the show, though. The shout-outs, man. I want to first thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout-out to the guys in the studio. Shout-out me, man.
The countdown.
Yes, countdown. Sir. I got
December 12th, man.
December 12th is real. I got 2 episodes left.
Man.
It's been great, though. It's been great, man.
I want to start off by thanking God allowing me this opportunity to be here in the studio today, allowing me all the opportunities I have. Yeah. I want to shout out the guys in the studio.
Shout out
the homies, man. Hey, man, shout out Jeff. Real one on the way out the door, man.
1 or 2 OGs still left.
Yeah, it's over for y'all. I ain't gonna lie.
No.
Shout out to God, man. Like, I know we all say it before. Shout out to God, man. Really, I don't know how. I'm very blessed to be in the situation that I am right now. Like, and I don't shout out myself. Shout out to me, bro. Like, I feel like I've really been on it this semester, bro. My grades looking good. Like, I'm not fighting back. I actually got, like, A's right now, so.
Okay.
Shout out to me, bro.
Shout out to my Lord and Savior. Shout out to my mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. Shout out to my guy, Xavier. He just got baptized yesterday.
Okay.
So shout out to Xavier.
Shout out, Zay.
And other than that, shout out to the entire state of Mississippi with the exception of Madison County.
Do not mess with Madison County.
And Gulfport, too.
Do not mess with Gulfport.
Are we adding them?
That's besides the point. Nah, Gulfport put belt on my high school.
Oh.
To a little bit. So, yeah. But besides the point, shout out to, I guess, Josh Allen. He finally had a good game.
He made history. 3 rushing touchdowns, 3 passing.
He did.
Last person that was Otto Graham.
Shout out Otto Graham.
Cleveland Brown.
But yeah, and shout out everybody else, I guess. Darren Peterson, get some mustard, some pickle juice, something.
Halftime of the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.